Hey, this is Stephen Curry from the Golden State Warriors, number 30. And you listen to Drive Time Sports on KOAL 750 AM.
We are back on Drive Time Sports, 107.3 FM, 750 AM KOAL. Really excited about our next guest, a first-time guest here on the show. Former head coach for UNLV, actually won the California Bowl, topping Toledo a little ways back, and we can talk about that and much more. But he also now is involved with analyzing football. We have Coach Harvey High joining us on the show. Coach, it's a pleasure to talk to you and a pleasure to get you on today. Thank you for making time for us.
Well, Jordan, thank you very much for having me on. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, you know, this is definitely a fun time of the year, to say the least. And I mean, you're so wrapped up in Pac-12 athletics and USC, obviously, something that you're close to. So I'm sure every time we talk NFL draft, or when we start talking NFL draft around this time, there's plenty for you to talk about.
There really is, and not only that, with spring practice now just concluding in the spring game and all of the talk about next season and preseason rankings and who's the favorite to win the Pac-12, you know, the football season never ends anymore. It goes year around.
It definitely does. I want to start by talking about two individuals that have left USC that I'm really interested in come NFL draft time. One of them is Adoree Jackson. Now, I'm sure you have followed Adoree extremely close. Coach, this was a guy that I thought really should have been a finalist for the Heisman Trophy. He was the most versatile player in college football over the last, and you can even make the argument, the last two seasons. But a lot of people are questioning Adoree's size. You followed him during his college career. Tell me how his game translates to the NFL.
Well, you know, he's a very exciting player, and he has been not only at USC but in high school, and people know who he is. To give you an example, the players coming out were introduced at the spring game, and of all the players that were introduced, he got the loudest applause from the stand that was at the stand, or for the people that were at the spring game. And you know, he's a popular kid; he's always smiling, and he made big plays for USC, and he also made some plays too that cost them as far as breaking down in covering the deep route. So there's some question there. Can he play? He's definitely fast enough. He's a great athlete. Is he physical enough to cover the big receiver? So there's a lot of questions regarding Adoree. And will he go in the first round? There's a lot of people discussing should he or will he, and all of those possibilities. I think he's a great athlete. Will he be a first rounder? I'm not sure. I wouldn't bet on that. Not that he can't play. But again, he's got to be able to cover the big receiver. He's got to be able to play a lot of man defense. And he's got to be very physical. If you watch defensive backs today on any level, they're hitters. They have to take on the run. They have to fill. They have to do so many different things now in playing in the secondary. He may be able to be a nickel back, but we'll have to wait and see. But special teams-wise, hey, there's no question that he could be a special teams player in the NFL. Only thing is, will he hold up with the big guys hitting him?
Right. I mean, and again, height-wise, we're talking about a 5'11 kid here, but am I crazy for thinking that Adoree could play on both sides of the football if a team was to draft him, maybe in that mid-second round, late first round? Is he that hybrid-type player that you could use throughout an entire game in multiple assets?
Well, you know, I was always against that at USC. I spoke out against that because I always felt that he needed all the time to play at what he was going to be as far as in the NFL. And who is he? Establish an identity. He's going to be a defensive back, so you better get every time you lose a rep in covering or in practice, I think you're not taking advantage of your practice time or your game time. Yet at USC, he was able to make a lot of great plays. He had great hands. USC used him. But I worried about that as far as the morale. Here's the great receivers that USC had, and all of a sudden, here's a kid that's a five-star player playing receiver, and during an important time in the game, he's taken out, and Adoree comes over there. So, you know, you got to look at this a lot of different ways. In the NFL, no. I don't think it'll happen.
Let's move on and talk about another USC player who was very potent during his college time, but a lot of scouts have said maybe he's a tad bit too slow to play in the NFL, and that's Juju Smith-Schuster. I love this kid. I mean, I've watched him his entire career at USC, Coach. I think that this kid has a very bright future in the NFL. I love his hands. I love his agility. I think there's a place for him. I would have a hard time seeing him slip past the second round, and just looking at an NFL roster, the team I throw out there, I would love to see Juju opposite of Robert Woods in Los Angeles. I think it's a match made in heaven. Give me your assessment on Juju.
I like Juju, too. He's a very physical type of football player. No one outworks him. He really works hard. He really gets mad at himself too much where it disrupts him because he wants to do so well. But I've seen him make great plays. Speed, yes, it is a question as far as can he distance, can he separate from the defensive back? Will he be a great long ball receiver? I don't think so, but he'll be a great inside receiver, and he's very physical. Remember, every play, you've got to be involved in it. If you're a receiver today, you've got to learn to block, you've got to be able to run routes, and you got to be able to be, you got to be strong because they'll beat you up. They put their hands on you. You've got to get through the jamming that you're going to get at the line of scrimmage, and Juju can do that. I like Juju. Will he go past the second round? No. He'll be taken in the first or second round. I'm sure of that.
So you think that USC, I mean, all in all, when we talk about Adoree Jackson and Juju Smith, if you're an SC fan, you probably shouldn't have to watch the NFL past the second round to see these two get their names called.
I agree with you 100%. These guys, I would take them in the first or second round. Now, there are other great receivers out there and other great players out there. It seems to be there is more of an abundance today of great players than ever before, especially in the receivers area and the defensive back area. Skilled players are unbelievable right now.
Again, our guest right now is Coach Harvey Hyde. We're going to talk about his past and his workings in college football in just a moment. But before we move away from that, Coach, I want to talk about another kid coming out of the Pac-12 whose stock has definitely been on the rise over the past couple of weeks, and that's Christian McCaffrey. A lot of talk right now that he could potentially be a top 10 pick. In fact, I think he fits what Carolina wants to build with Cam Newton and giving him a dynamic option. If you would have asked me this a month ago, I'd have said no way Christian McCaffrey goes in the top 20. And now, I mean, there's a legitimate debate on if he goes before Leonard Fournette.
You know, you've got to see him play in person. I don't know how many of your listeners have seen him play in person unless he played at Salt Lake City against the University of Utah. But he's an unbelievable player. He can cut on a dime. He's got tremendous hands. He could do everything, and he's a team leader. I remember I was at the Rose Bowl game, and the first play of the game, he caught that touchdown pass, went right down the middle of the field against Iowa. Unbelievable football player. Tremendous athlete, very smart, very intelligent, and physical. He's only been injured, I think, one time during his entire career, and that's why he didn't play in the bowl game this year. But he asked the team, he explained it to the team, and he didn't play, jeopardizing his NFL career. Now, is that something that I like? Is that something that I think will be positive? No. I think that when you're part of a team, you should go through it. That's if you're able to play. If you can't play because you're hurt, everyone understands that. But to think about the future when you still have eligibility and you have your teammates there and you're going out to win your 10th game as Stanford did and was successful, I think it's very important to be a teammate as long as you're part of that team.
So let me ask you this, Coach. You have free reign here in the NFL draft, and you know you're going to go with a running back. And both McCaffrey and Fournette are on the board. Who do you roll with?
I go with the Florida State running back. I like Cook. I really think
Cook.
That
okay.
He's a great player. He's played in a great conference. He's a good kid. He's got great hands. He runs well. Fournette's a good downhill runner. I question his hands. He's very physical, and he's been injured. I just like Cook. Cook's just a steady player. He's a steady player. And he comes through with big plays when they need big plays at Florida State. I would go with Cook. I know there's some great choices out there, but myself, Cook's my guy as far as a running back.
Well, 1 through 3, I mean, I think you hit it right on the head. If we're talking McCaffrey, Fournette, and Cook, I mean, it's completely different than the last two draft classes where it appeared that the prized running back was Todd Gurley and then it was Ezekiel Elliott. This year, teams do have options at that position.
There's no question that you have to know what fits your system. You've got to know what your system is, but yet you've got to take someone that fits your style of play. You've got to look and say, how will he do in our offense? How do we want to use this person? So for me to say one is better than the other, I have to know what I want to do with this young man. I want to know how I want to utilize his skills. I want to get all my athletes on the field. I don't want them watching the game. I want them playing in the game. So again, as far as who I say is better than someone, it's hard for me to tell you that.
Who's the most interesting Pac-12 prospect in your mind going into this draft, or is there one?
Oh, my. Sort of hit me on that one a little. I'll probably hit Ross, the receiver from Washington.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, when a kid can run that fast, and really coming into the season, a lot of people didn't know who he was. I mean, they did know who he was. He's out of Long Beach Poly High School in California. But he wasn't the big recruit that everybody was after. Everybody knew who he was, but the University of Washington got him. He went up there. And I watched him run by Adoree Jackson, okay? He ran right by him and caught a big bomb pass on Adoree. And I'm sure Adoree didn't think he was that fast or that good. He actually tripped when he was trying to turn to run to stay with him. I think that's the number one guy in the Pac-12. I'm really anxious to watch what happens to him. He's so explosive and such a great player. He's a big playmaker. Not that the others aren't, but to me right now, he'd be the guy in the Pac-10 or Pac-12 that I'm watching.
You know, you bring up John Ross, and Coach, I definitely don't deny this kid's talent. But, I mean, obviously, the hype built around him when he ran the 4.22 40 at the Combine. From a coach's perspective, do you like the Combine? How much do you actually pay attention to that kind of stuff? And how much of that is actually intangible on making a selection in a draft or picking from a group of very talented players?
I think the Combine's a farce, to be honest with you. First of all, you're doing all these different tests without a football uniform on. Some people carry a uniform better than other people. Some people, what are those? You don't do a lot of those skills when you play football that they're testing you on. I can look at a football film, and these coaches watch and personnel directors watch players play all year. They've been watching them since they were freshmen in college and some in high school. And you can tell who a football player is. I don't think you have to go. Of course, the physical's important, but you can do that anywhere. But all these tests they do, how many times can you do 225 pounds in the best press? How important is that? I mean, Christian McCaffrey, I think, only did 10. Does that mean he's not a good football player? I really don't believe that the Combine is something that is that important. At least it wouldn't be for me. I wouldn't decide who my first-round draft choice is going to be from how many reps he did in the 225 or what was his long jump, standing long jump, what distance was that. I couldn't care less about that. Hey, I want to get a football player. I don't want to get a guy that's playing football. I want to get a guy that plays football because he's a football player. And I can only get that in competition when one person goes against the other or one team goes against the other.
I love it. Love the answer, Coach. Before I let you go, I do want to talk about your workings in college football. Now, you and I were talking a little bit off of the cuff, and you mentioned when you were the head coach at UNLV that you actually got to travel to Utah and play the Utah Utes. What do you remember from going up against the Utes back in the mid-'80s?
Well, I remember coming up there, and I remember you guys having a great team that year. Chuck Stobart was the head coach. I don't know if you weren't even born then, okay, Jordan?
Well, wasn't born yet, no, but I do know the history of him, absolutely.
Okay, so we came up there, and it was a really close football game. First of all, when we got there, we put all our equipment in the Salt Lake City, you know, the stadium locker room, as you normally do, and the next day we come to the game, and all our shoes are gone. Somebody came in and took all the shoes from our locker room. So we're scurrying around. We're trying to find football shoes. The University of Utah was very great helping us trying to find the football shoes. We sent people down to sporting goods stores to try to find shoes as far as to play this game. And then I never will forget that Kevon Jenkins, I can remember the kid's name, and I hope he's not listening to remember this. He had broken the open. It was a very close game. He was running for a touchdown that would have given us the victory. And for some reason, he just dropped the football. Right in front of me, he just dropped the football. He wasn't trying to spike it. He wasn't trying to be fancy. He just plain dropped it. And the Utes recovered it, and we got beat. So it was a great game, and I'll tell you, it's a crazy stadium and a great crowd. Just too bad we couldn't win.
Well, after your college football coaching days, I know you made the rounds. I believe you coached high school, too, if I remember correctly, Coach. What have you been up to since?
Well, I tell you, I was one of those coaches, I'll just tell you, that I'm very fortunate because I had the ability or I had the experiences of coaching high school, junior college, and then four-year college. And I think that you get to find out what the problems are all about, and you get a better experience, and you make better contacts with your coaches that you're going to get to know and recruit from. I just thought that was a great experience because I found out it means as much on any level as it does on your level that you're currently on. And what I've done since then, I got out of coaching, and then I started to get into radio and television and broadcasting. I've done so many different things in that. And then George Allen gave me a call when he went to Long Beach State, and he asked me to come down there and be his associate head coach and work with him when he was back in Washington, D.C. with Ronald Reagan. So I went down and put the staff together, and we went to work and turned around a program, and then Coach Allen passed away. So I said, you know, I think I'll just continue with this radio part of my life. And I've been able to do that. I've been very fortunate as far as doing the pregame show for USC, a postgame show for USC, a podcast for USC, a USC Trojan talk show, and a general sports talk show in Southern California, along with still maintaining my ties in Las Vegas and doing a sports radio show every day in Las Vegas and the Inland Empire on Saturday morning. So, you know what, I did this at the beginning, Jordan, just to have something to do. Now it's a job, Jordan. It's a job. I've got to be there like you do. We work holidays, don't we?
Right, we absolutely do.
So now I'm back into another form of coaching, and you have to take the same pride, and I know you do too, in what you do that you did when you coached. You got to do your homework. You got to be prepared. You got to be able to know what to say and give an honest opinion. You can't be critical unless you know all the facts. So I think it's very, very important that people that are on the air, people listen to them. And I think you owe it to them to tell them exactly the way things happen and how you feel about it, but yet do your homework and be prepared.
Excellent conversation, Coach. I really do appreciate you making time for us here. Hopefully we can get you on again, Coach. I enjoyed the conversation a lot. I'd love to get you back on.
Jordan, anytime, my friend, anytime. Have a safe one out there and take care. And for all of you out there, thank you for listening.
Definitely. Again, that's Coach Harvey High taking out the time to join us here on Drive Time Sports. We're going to break for just a moment, but we do have more coming up straight ahead.